Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings chapter 20. Second Kings, chapter 20, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good, which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs. And they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees, or go back 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men? And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thy house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, and all his might, and how he made a pool and a conduit, and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. All right, well, we're going to divide the chapter into two portions. The first portion of the chapter, when Hezekiah asks the Lord for recovery and the Lord causes him to recover, and the second part of the chapter where the Lord or where Hezekiah takes those extra 15 years and squanders them and makes ill use of them. So those would be the two halves of the chapter that we'll take a look at. So the first portion then is Hezekiah is sick unto death. And the Lord sends him Isaiah the prophet to tell him that he's going to die. And Isaiah turns his face over to the wall and cries out unto the Lord and weeps sore. Now what Hezekiah says unto the Lord is interesting, I thought, in that he says, "Remember the good things that I have done." Now that's not necessarily a bad prayer. Not necessarily. But when we look at the rest of Hezekiah's life, it does seem that he is being a little self-serving here, especially toward the end of his life when he says, "Well, you know, it's good for me, so it must be good." It seems that Hezekiah may have a little bit of, you know, eye trouble. You know what I mean by eye trouble, right? I this and I that. And so he's a little focused on Hezekiah, it seems, anyway. Now, for a man who has just been the recipient of a marvelous work of the Lord as he laid out his complaint before the Lord, we would not expect this, would we? But it does seem that way. It's hard to be dogmatic. It's not necessarily an evil request to say, "Remember the good things that I've done." That's not necessarily evil. But taken with the sweep of it, my opinion, and it's a tenuously held opinion, it's not dogma here, but he seems to be a little self-serving. So it does say that he wept sore, and weeping sore, let's try to put the best construction on that we can. Let's say that Hezekiah is weeping because although he has done some good, he remembers his sins. Let's try to put that construction on there. Let's believe the best about King Hezekiah that we're able to do so in this. And so, the Lord, and brothers and sisters, I want you to understand this, because we're going to see it time and time again in the Kings here. We've already seen it with Ahab. With wicked Ahab, he went softly and the Lord heard him. Hezekiah weeps before the Lord and the Lord hears him. Josiah, when Josiah reads or has read in his presence the book of the law and he hears that the Lord will destroy Jerusalem for what they have done, he rent his garment, tears his clothes, weeps, and when they go to the prophetess to ask of her what's going on, just a couple chapters hence, she says, "Tell the king of Judah this, thus saith the Lord, because your heart was tender and you wept before me, therefore have I heard you." Brothers and sisters, our Lord is a God who delights in seeing our repentance. Do you see that? Do you recognize that in him? That when the Lord tells us that some calamity is coming, many times in Scripture he has turned aside from that calamity that he said he would do because he sent it to cause us to repent, and he has satisfied himself with our repentance. Do you see that? How important is that then, that we have tender hearts toward our sin, tender hearts toward the evil that we do, tender hearts and hearts of repentance when we see our sins? Anything less than that is hard-heartedness, and we have no expectation at that point to receive any good from the hand of the Lord. These men received good from the hand of the Lord in His providence, in the order that He had set in His providence, because they wept. Now, they didn't turn His mind or change His mind or anything like that. We need to move away from that kind of understanding. But the Lord sends these. He expresses these notices of affliction to come in order that we would weep before Him and weep for our sins and turn from our wickedness. And the Lord is entreated of people like that. So Hezekiah weeps and the Lord gives him 15 more years. He stops Isaiah in the outer court and says, "Go on back and tell him I'm giving you another 15 years. Notice, very interestingly, they make a poultice out of figs and they put it on the boil. Yeah, go figure, right? That's what they did. They used means. Brothers and sisters, we are a people of means. They had the word of God that he was going to be healed. And so what did they do? They applied means. so that God would heal him. Very, very clear. Now, here's an interesting section in that Hezekiah says, well, what sign will I receive? Now, remember that Hezekiah is not all the way out of line in asking for this. The Lord has already said in the last chapter that he was going to give him a sign. Remember? Well, here's the sign. You'll eat. You'll have volunteer plants coming up all over the place that you can eat this year and next year, and then plant the third year, right? That was the sign. And so Hezekiah says, well, here's another miraculous thing the Lord's going to bring. Here's another remarkable providence he's going to bring. I'm going to recover. What sign shall I expect from the Lord? Oh, Isaiah's answer is astute. It is really interesting. He says, well, what would you like? Would you like the clock to go forward 10 minutes or back 10 minutes? I know I'm putting it in modern parlance. You want the sun to go backward 10 degrees or forward 10 degrees? What is Isaiah's word to Hezekiah in that? It doesn't matter. God's already said it. It doesn't matter if the clock goes forward or backward. It doesn't matter if the shadow climbs up or down on the stick. God has already told you he's going to do it. You don't need a sign. If you see the clock go forward 10 degrees, if you see that shadow go forward 10 degrees, you'll know God's going to do it. You know why? Because he said so. But God does condescend to us, and he caused that shadow to go back 10 degrees for the comfort of Hezekiah. What a great and condescending God we have. He says it, and that settles it. And it's our duty to believe it at that point. And yet, the Lord would comfort Hezekiah. And Isaiah prays, and the Lord sends 10 degrees back on the sundial, if you will. Very, very interesting. But what Isaiah is telling Hezekiah when he says, you want the clock to go forward 10? Well, yeah, that's like falling off a rock. Yeah, but that's all it takes to believe what God has said. You don't need a sign. God's already said it. Receive it. Very, very good. All right, so then Hezekiah recovers. And the king of Babylon sends him a letter. Heard you were sick. You know, kind of kingly fellowship. Let's get together. How about if I come see you? You're probably kind of weak still, so I'll come see you. Well, thank you. Very, very kind. Oh, and while you're here, let me show you all my riches. Let me boast a little bit of my stuff. Let me show you how mighty we are. Let me reveal some state secrets here. How unwise of Hezekiah. And so the wise old prophet Isaiah says, who were those men and what did you do with them? Oh, they were from a far country. He already knows. They'd never come here. They're from a far country. And Isaiah says, well, what did you show them? In a word, everything. Everything. I showed them all of the gold and silver we have in the house. I showed them my palace. I showed them some of our armaments. I showed them all the stuff that we make war with. I showed them everything. By now, Hezekiah is probably thinking that wasn't such a great idea. What do we see here in Hezekiah? Well, we see a bit of impetuousness. He should have asked for counsel. He should have called his advisors in. We have some emissaries coming from a far country. What should I show them? Right? He refused to widen out his circle of counselors and thought he had it under control. And so Isaiah says, hear the word of the Lord, not just Isaiah's word. Hear the word of the Lord. In a word, you showed them everything. They'll be back. And they will come for it. Everything that you've showed them, including your sons. And they will be servants, eunuchs, in the house of the king of Babylon. Now the Lord had, obviously, another purpose in all of that because of the idolatry of the nation and so on. That there are lots of other purposes that are congealing for the Babylonian captivity, including Hezekiah's bold and rash move here, giving up the state secrets and showing all of the riches of the kingdom to a foreign to a foreign dignitary, to a foreign king. All right, so then we have this final portion where Hezekiah says, well, you know, it's good for me. It's good for me. And again, if we want to put the best construction on that, we do see that it is the kindness of the Lord that this will not take place in Hezekiah's day. And that is kindness. Josiah says the same thing later. There are other kings that have said that same thing, that it's a good word for me because it will not happen in my day. And that is indeed a good word, that if the Lord is going to bring judgment, that it comes after you. But let's drop the other shoe. Let's look at the other side of that coin. Is that really the lot that you want for your sons to come, your sons and daughters to come? Would it be good if you knew that your sons and daughters would be carried away slaves, captives, to an idolatrous nation? Well, no, it wouldn't be good at all. And so Hezekiah does seem a little self-serving here. All right, and then the chapter closes out. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might and how he made a pool and a conduit and brought water into the city. He was an ingenious man. A great, you know, he had a water project, right? They're not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah, which, by the way, is probably not 1st and 2nd Chronicles. So you understand that. All right, let's stand and continue praising God then.